Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is enjoying this beautiful God-given day and that you had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. A weekend that involved the Mocs going down to the Citadel and pulling out a 25-24 overtime win. As a result, the Mocs move up to number 14 in the new FCS stats poll. Good job, Rusty. It only took you 15 games to develop a top 15 program. Way to go.
Well, that's not true. I finished in the top 15 last fall because there was only 15 of us playing.
That's awesome. All right. Well, look, I want to talk about this game, specifically the first play and the last get in the last play. Drayton Arnold to tie a 75-yard touchdown. I watched that play over and over again Saturday, not long after it happened. You know, you guys go in, you script what you want to do, but still, I mean, you have an idea of what might work. But I went back and looked at the replays, Rusty, and Tyus is open by 20 yards in every single direction.
Yeah, you know, and it's just they lined up a certain way to that formation, and that we hadn't been in two tights very much at all. You know, in the game against Wofford, and really against Western Kentucky, we weren't in it a whole bunch. We did some, you know, but if they'd seen us on film, you know, if they'd watched 2019, they knew we'd be in it some, you know, and all that. And it was funny, all week long, we kept running it, and I kept telling Juwan, I was down there watching him, I said, whatever you do, don't drop it. Whatever you do, don't drop it. I said, you're going to be open, don't drop the ball. And sure enough, you know, we swung the back out, and the backer went with the back, and they were doubling. What really got them was they were doubling. They were putting a guy under and over on Reggie Henderson, and that took the field safety away, and there was nobody left because the boundary safety went with Jay on the corner route, Jay Gibson on the corner route, and there was nobody in the middle of the field for Juwan. So that's how it worked out.
And of course, you know, Lane Kiffin's notorious for, like, last season he threw a clipboard 20 yards up in the air. You know, when he saw a play like that develop. What goes through – I mean, I know you're probably – it's probably going through your mind what you said to Juwan, just catch the ball. But that's got to make you feel good when the, you know, the homework has been done and it just comes to fruition so instantly like that.
Yeah, I mean, we got good coaches and they plan well and they try to put these kids in the best spots all the time. And, you know, when it works out, it's – you know, and you, I mean, you talk to any offense coordinator, they'll tell you every play they draw up should score a touchdown. And it doesn't always work that way. But, you know, these guys do, they spend a lot of time watching and preparing these kids and trying to put them in the best spots. And, you know, sometimes you out-dumb some folks every once in a while, too, you know, just get them in the right spots and let them go play. But I was happy for Juwan. You know, he hadn't played a whole bunch. We moved him from wide receiver to tight end. And he can cause some mismatch issues if he learns. You got to be much better in the blocking part of it. He'll continue to do that and be okay.
You mentioned Jay Gibson's involvement on that play. Let's talk about the winning 2-point conversion. You line him out. He goes in motion. First off, when you're discussing those plays, Rusty, when you're how many with you and your staff? How many are y'all debating for a 2-point conversion? Did you know that was your go-to? Were there about three or four you decided, and that one got picked? How did that play come about?
You usually have a couple, you know, that you feel good about, one or two you feel good about, and that's actually, you know, they called a timeout when we first lined up, and we'd lined up in it originally, and then we actually changed our minds and lined up in something else, and then they didn't line up how we liked, so I called a timeout, and we went back to the original call. And actually, if you watch it, you know, they were bringing the defensive end upfield all day. We actually ran speed option out the front door with Gino. If we pitch it to Gino, he scores. And, you know, so we had both of them. We had the shovel to Jay. We actually had the speed option out the front door with Gino because nobody was running out there with him. We had hats on the outside, and he probably walks in too. So that was a good call. You know, I mean but it's like I told the kids after the game, I said, you know, whatever happened on that 2-point play, the only thing we got to learn from this, and they were excited. Don't get me wrong. They were excited. And I was too. I was excited for them. But I told them, I said, the only thing we have to learn from this game is we put ourselves in this situation. Me included, me as the head coach included, I put us in this situation, and we put ourselves as players in the situation because we had a chance to control this game and didn't get it done. And I said, that's the learning curve we have to get over here. We have to be able to put people away when we have opportunities to put them away and put games, you know, to where it's 3 and 4 scores, not 2 scores at sometimes.
When Gibson's going in motion on that 2-point conversion, was there a point where you're like, okay, this is going to work? Were you liking everything about it when he goes in motion, or was it not until the shovel where you were just like, okay, this is a score?
Well, I didn't like it till he caught it. You never know. I mean, you know, these guys could drop it and
right.
Get his fingertips and fall to the ground, you know. So, I mean, I just knew it was time to go get on the bus one way or another. We were done, so let's load it up and get back to Chattanooga. So, but I mean, I was happy for him. It worked exactly. You know, we actually talked about tweaking a little bit. He was actually early. We got to jab step him a little bit, bring him back across because he was sitting there waiting on the pitch. And best part about it was Cole Strange pulled around there. Linebacker showed up. He went inside. Cole kept climbing, and he picked up the other linebacker. And that's why Jay never got touched. So it was. They executed it like they were supposed to execute it, so it was good.
And, Rusty, good. If you watch that tape right after Jay reaches the end zone, I mean, your players come off the sidelines in celebration. You just think about there's not a cloud in the sky. The weather's – I mean, it had to be kind of surreal because it sure looked like football and had to feel like football. It's just – it's happening in March.
Yeah, well – there was plenty of clouds in the sky when we were warming up and kicked off. Now, I mean, it was a little different then. It was about 46 degrees and raining,
okay.
So it wasn't a beautiful spring day in Charleston to start with. But it was. I mean, you know, once you get down there, it is a little bit more like football. This one felt a little more because you go on the road. You know, there were people in the stands and all that, and you know, and the kids are. We played better. We played better offensively. Played better defensively. I mean, we got better from week 1 to week 2, and that was, you know, that was the biggest thing I wanted to see, is see if we'd make any strides. We blocked better up front, we did some things better, and you know, we played a few more guys again, and just kind of see how it goes with, you know, moving forward.
Well, when you go back and look at the film after what you just said, what did kind of lead to that second half offensive lull?
Me more than those kids, you know. Yeah, and I told him in the locker room at halftime, we were up, you know, the points right before half, we went up 17-7. We kicked the field goal right before half. We're huge, you know. Drake makes a big throw. Canori makes a good catch on fourth down. We were able to sneak a field goal out of that. And then, you know, I told him, I said, let's go out here and win the third quarter and see what happens. And we did. We won the third quarter. We drove the ball the length of the field and, you know, just didn't make a play. We were third and, you know, we had a chance to kind of squirt one through there and pick up a first down and kind of keep the chains moving. We flipped the field, which was good, and then defensively we came out there and played well. And I decided to go for it on the first one because we were a little further out, you know, on trying to kick the first one, and the wind was just kind of crazy. It wasn't really blowing from one end to another. It was just kind of swirling, and I didn't want Skyler to go out there and lose any confidence by, you know, not hitting a good ball or anything like that. We went for it and didn't get it then, and you know, defense stopped them. We got the ball back, moved it back down there, and we got on the 20. And we should have kicked the field goal there. I know we should have. We should have taken the points and just went up 13 and felt good about things. That would have changed some things we could have done offensively, you know, later on. But I talked myself into not kicking the field goal because I'm like, you know what, a touchdown goes a long way. We're 3 scores up then instead of mm-hmm. 2. And, I was an idiot for about a 5-minute span in there. And I can't, somebody's got to talk me out of that. You know, I talked them into fourth down deal. And we got to take points, especially that early in the third quarter. I know better than that. And I didn't. I was trying to put the game away. And I should have just played football.
Got a couple more minutes with Rusty Wright, second-year football coach of the Mocs, whose team is off to a 2-0 SoCon start after Saturday's 25-24 win at the Citadel. Rusty, I would imagine, I mean, all this is new and weird and however you want to describe it, but having an open date already before you go to Furman on the 20th, is that kind of nice to kind of just cool the jets and reevaluate things?
Yeah, it is. It is. We're pretty sore, too. That's a physical football. I don't care how good or bad we are, how good or bad the Citadel is. That's a physical football game. Our kids need it. We're going to put the older guys out in helmets probably a couple of days this week and let the young guys go in pads and practice a little bit and start getting those guys ramped up a little more and start getting them a little more ready to do some things. And I know the kids enjoy it. We're going to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and not for long, and give them the weekend off because it is a spring. You know, they're not getting spring break and all that kind of stuff here. They need a weekend off and let these coaches get out of here and just, you know, kind of be with their families because we're getting ready. We're going to turn right back around and do it in August, and it's going to be here before you know it. And we're going to be right back to the grind. So trying to keep these kids fresh and in their minds into it and relaxed. And they've been really good, man. I'm telling you, our guys have, especially our older guys, have been really good, and the young guys are starting to come along. And we got to get to a point this spring where them young guys are playing a bunch, and we're getting ready to start doing that. So,
and Rusty, finally, you know, like I mentioned at the top, you guys have moved up to number 14 in the stats poll. But I was just kind of curious because I, you know, for years I voted on that Harris poll that helped determine the two teams that played for the national championship in the old BCS era. But, you know, you look at these rankings and you've got a 5-1 team and a 1-0 team. And it's like, how tough do you think it is to kind of gauge where you stand and where everybody stands this spring for that matter?
You can't gauge where everybody stands. You got to throw this stuff out the window right now. I just, you know, we talked as a staff. We got to figure out a way to make sure we're getting guys better. You know, guys are understanding and we're getting guys better. I said, you can't. Look, this stuff's all over the place. You got people not playing. I mean, you know, guys, games getting canceled, Wofford's, you know, things like, I mean, just it's all over the place. So you can't put any stock in what's going on this spring, and you just got to figure out a way to make your team better. And if you're winning games along the way, it's not going to hurt you. I promise you it's not going to hurt you, but you can't put a whole lot of stock in it because we're going to get out there in a couple of weeks, and we'll probably have some guys play that don't need to be playing, but they need to practice and go through and do it.
Interesting. Well, Coach, as always, good stuff. Congratulations on the W over the Citadel, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All righty. Rusty Wright, second-year coach of the Mocs, who are 2-0 in SoCon play, again, having defeated the Citadel 25-24 in overtime this past weekend. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.